the biggest myth about becoming a successful actor in Hollywood that almost nobody sees from the outside?
I don't know if it's the biggest, but there are so many. One is, I think a lot of people feel that actors who've acted a lot feel very confident. No, you wake up in the morning, you think to yourself, am I going to get through it? Am I going to make it work today? You get yourself all ready, you get to the set, and you deal with a lot of unpredictabilities and your doubts. You have as many doubts as you had in the beginning, perhaps more, because you realize how much you don't know all the way through. What does happen is develop a skill. Experience will show you that you can live through disaster. Don't read reviews until the end of the run if you're doing a play. And if you're doing a film, read them all together. You can't read them one at a time because you'll destroy yourself. But the myths, I think one of the things to remember is casting directors, when you go in for a role, they really want you to be good. They really are rooting for you. I fear that a lot of people starting out are afraid that they think they're not going to like me or I'm not going to be great. They really do want you. Everyone on the set is rooting for you and they're there for you and they want you to. It's like a teamwork. I think a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this as well, feel that actors who are very successful and very out there in the public eye, they think, oh, they're having a great time and they just lay around and they enjoy and they have everybody working for them and it's all wonderful. No. You have far less privacy. You've given up your anonymity. You have to think where you're going to go. You'll go to parties. And I know this because I was famous for 5 minutes. They will know you right away. And it's fairly lonely because a lot of people will be so involved with how they're coming across to you, experiencing themselves in front of you, that they don't really take you in. They're too busy experiencing the experience of talking to someone who is not a real person. They're just an icon standing there in physical form before you. And it does affect you. It is a bit lonely, but there can be a design to that because I think one of the biggest myths is thinking that all actors are outgoing and not shy and they enjoy being in the spotlight. And much of the time, that's far from the truth. I think a lot of actors are very shy, including myself. Acting is not really a hiding place. It's a way that you can exist, you can live in a story, you can experience within the safety of a story so that you can be all that the story demands. You don't have to risk being yourself. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that drew me to it.
Yeah, it's what you're saying about people in the party and them being so aware that they're talking to someone who's been on TV or in the cinemas, and it makes them overthink and not treat you like a real human. It reminded me, a quote came up in my head when you're saying that, and it's like, do people love you for who you are or what you do? They know you for doing something and then they seem over the top, like, oh, I love you for doing that, I love you for doing this. They're not loving you for who you are as a person because they don't know you. So it must be a weird kind of almost parasocial relationship. Have you had a lot of those experiences throughout your career then?
Yeah, I've had a number of those in my younger years. One of the pitfalls of that experience, your value of yourself is indexed to people's awareness of you, particularly as an actor. It's not like you're producing something. You are selling yourself. It's a peculiar way to make a living. I didn't realize that until years into acting. You start trying to be what people want. Your value is indexed to that. You listen for praise or approval, as opposed to allowing yourself just to be a person. It's more difficult, especially when you're young, you're very young, in years where you're really just finding yourself. I feel for people, a lot of people don't survive it. Getting to be a star in the spotlight for an extended amount of time through, say, 5, 10, 15 years, in the years of, say, 10, 11 years old, 15, 16 years old, even 21 years old, because you're filled with, yes, people. They need the performance. So you get on a set and you got your parents or your guardian, you've got your manager, your agent, the director, the producer, and they're all wanting the performance. They need to get it and they need you to be happy. So you don't necessarily learn how to deal with people. It's a skewed way of learning about yourself. And you start expecting, yes, you don't experience the friction that normal people experience in those years when you really need it, do you figure out who you are and how to deal with the world? So you're surrounded by people saying, yes, great, you're wonderful, got the shot, wonderful, go, do your school, come back and do this. And then the heck with school, right? We need you for this part. Yeah.
When you first started acting, what did you imagine making it would look like versus the reality of that? What was the day-to-day of your life once you did get into the spotlight versus what you imagined it to be before you'd reached that moment?
I started acting in third grade in school plays. We had a dramatics club in our school. And the first day, 300 kids signed up for it because there was nothing to do after school except sports. We did musicals every year. The first experience was South Pacific. I was playing a nurse and we were on the stage and we had our towels and pretended to be on a beach. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, I can pretend to be on a beach and I really feel like I'm on the beach. And then we did more and more. So that was when I fell in love with acting. I then started to go out on auditions. Going back to the dramatics club, my mother, whose name was Lenka Peterson, started this theater group in our grade school. It was a family business because I grew up in my mother's dressing room. I grew up going to her summer stock and watching, being enamored. I remember she was doing a play on Broadway and we came to visit her afterwards. I walked out on stage. I think I was six. I looked out at the audience and there was a bed on stage. It was all the way home, I think. There was a kitchen. The bed was upstairs on stage. I crawled up and looked at the bed and I sat in the bed. I thought, I'd like to just stay here. I just want to stay here and sleep. I think I'll live on this place. There was some sort of a comfort level with that. I think it came from just growing up with it and the magic of pretend. And she was such a wonderful director and inspiring. She worked with Rosemary Foley, who was the co-director of our group, turned into a theater group. I was working in young people's theater for years. During that time, I did, through my mother's agent, go up on some commercials and jobs. I have four brothers, and one of my brothers, Darren, did a film. Darren was driving into New York City. We lived outside of New York City. And I accompanied him. He went into audition, and I just sat. The casting director came. I said, would you like to read for the girl? She gave us the scripts. We went out and had 3 hours to kill. So we went to see a movie called Fat City. It was a John Huston film, Jeff Bridges and Susan Terrell. I remember sitting there thinking, wow, I'm going to audition for a film. There was something about that movie that clicked. I went back, read for the film. I ended up doing the film. My brother Darren ended up becoming an attorney. The heck with Hollywood, I'm going to be a lawyer. He became a wonderful litigator and loves it. In essence is of my introduction to it. I used to come from school and watch million-dollar movies. Started at 3:30 in the afternoon. I remember the beginning of it. They showed the camera and the music. I remember being entranced, watching Marlon Brando do Caesar. I fell in love with it. Fell in love with movies. And Dick Donner, the director, Richard Donner, gave me some advice. He gave me one of my first jobs on a series. And he said, tone it down, which happens with a lot of stage actors. You start doing film and they say, bring it down. He said, it's all in the eye. You don't have to act. It's just all in the eye. Of course, it's not. But that was a great thing to remember at the time. I took it to heart. And I guess it was good luck. But at that time, it was the early 70s. And I did this film, Jeremy, with the wonderful Robbie Benson. Robbie and I went around and did interviews and went to the Cannes Film Festival and won an award. We stood up and the whole place erupted in applause. I was 16 when we shot it. To get that kind of attention at 17 is marvelous, addictive, and dangerous. All these people, all these interviews, I remember thinking, oh my God, why are they so interested? Why do we have to do all these interviews? I was naive. It was magical in a way that the very beginning of doing stage in the theater groups was magical. What's wonderful about doing theater when you're young and you get into young people's theater is it's really teamwork.